Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. A very rainy day today. Lots of rain coming through the area, and that's expected to continue today and I think for the next couple of days as well, so make sure you try to stay dry. Good news on an IU front. Juwan Morgan, as I think we all expected, even though he took it basically to the wire, he could have taken it into today on the 30th of May as well, but he announces yesterday in the evening that he will return to Indiana for his senior season. So from all indications, the roster's set, and we're going to talk a lot about that roster for the 2018-19 college basketball season here today on the program. And it's a roster I think Indiana fans can get really excited about. No one is saying Indiana's a contender for a national championship or even a Final Four, but I think you would be silly to not think that this Indiana team has a lot of opportunity with the offseason ahead and, of course, the upcoming season that's still a bit of ways to be a team that can make some impacts and some improvements from last year. I don't see that this should be a team that misses the tournament. I think this should be a team with a lot of changes in the Big Ten Conference. Still a couple players, too, need to confirm one way or the other today by the deadline that they're either staying in without an agent or pulling their name from the draft and coming back to their school. But this is a Big Ten layout for next year with what Indiana has and what Indiana, some of these incoming freshmen like Langford are projected to have the potential to do. Could be really exciting. So, absolutely, there's no question about it that the Juwan Morgan piece is huge. He's Indiana's top returning scorer, one of the Big Ten's top returning players for next season. He was sixth in the conference as a junior in scoring and league play, fifth in rebounding as well. And he comes in, though, he comes back to a new team in many regards, with Langford obviously expected to be a starter and a big contributor in many ways, even though he'll just be a freshman. Evan Fitzner, obviously a 6'10" guy that can do a little bit of everything, including shoot the basketball. So it will be interesting to see how he meshes as far as on the court. There's no question he's going to get lots of playing time and score some points and those sorts of things, but I guess it's going to be more interesting to see with some other legitimate threats. He really had to step up and do so much for Indiana next year with so many other threats on the floor this season. How will that change his game or his ability to do what he's done here the last year or two for Indiana? I do think another thing, and we have touched on this, and I want to talk some more about it today when Ken Bykoff joins us, but I do think another thing to talk about with Indiana's roster is how deep it's becoming. I mean, again, not all Americans, not all Romeo-level recruits coming out of high school, but Indiana is becoming deep with a lot of different options when you think back to either what guys are projected to do, what guys did last season. There are some exciting guys on down the list that we hardly even have talked about since the end of the season that contributed at times. It wasn't always great. They weren't always consistent with it. Somebody different would seem to step up every game. Juwan became basically the guy that led the way most every time out, but he had some help. That helped change from game to game, and I think that's what is kind of the unknown with this team. It's not what is Juwan Morgan going to do, and to me it's really not what Romeo Langford is going to do. I know people say, oh, he's a freshman. What's he going to do at the Big Ten level? You know, he's going to have bigger guys guarding him. It's a whole different game when you get to that level of college basketball, and that's all true, but I think Romeo is damn good and going to be fine at the college level. I think the question with Romeo is will he go pro after a season, and we won't know that. I don't think we can know that till we get way into the college basketball season, but I can't see a scenario where Romeo Langford is not at least a reasonable contributor for Indiana. To me, the questions for Indiana's roster once you go beneath Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford are, who are some of the other guys that are going to step up? Is Deron Davis going to be healthy and maybe able to finish what he started last season with some of the good games he had before his injury? Even Devontae Green, athletic, can shoot it. Streaky, though, what will he bring to the table? A lot of interesting pieces, and again, I think on top of everything else with the incoming guys and the returning guys now that the roster is set, very interesting to think about what some of the lesser talked about guys may do this season and the potential that they have. So we'll try to dig in on some of that today. It's also a big day because tonight at Huber's is the annual IU tailgate. Archie Miller will be in Starlight tonight, the football coach, the athletic director, some of the other coaches as well. It's always a big celebration of Hoosier fans in Southern Indiana. And obviously with Archie returning, it was just a year ago that he made his first stop in Southern Indiana for this same event. And of course, he couldn't talk about Langford at the time as a recruit, potential recruit, but he did tell everybody, I know where New Albany, Indiana is. And it will be interesting tonight now that he has Romeo in the fold, a thought that a year ago a lot of people didn't think was possible in the least. It'll be interesting to see what comes up. And also tomorrow on the program, just kind of thinking ahead for just a moment here before we jump too far in today, we'll have comments that he's going to meet with the media today about 5:45. So we'll have comments from that. We'll have those complete audio from that. We'll also have all of his remarks tonight from the Huber Winery Banquet Hall. We'll play that back. So if you don't have a ticket, I know it sold out pretty quick, but if you don't have a ticket and you want to hear what Archie has to say, we'll have it all for you right here tomorrow on the Big X. A good portion of our show, in fact, will be replaying the audio from from tonight's event out of Huber. So if you're going, I'd love to hear from you. What's your favorite part about the event? I know some of you have been asking me long before tickets came on sale what I was hearing and when they were going to go on sale. So I know a lot of you guys that listen every day make this an annual stop for you as well. The food's great at Huber's. It's a great setting, just a great place. And to see all the IU guys come down, especially with the excitement that is ahead for this season, it's a great thing. This event's been going on for a while, too. I did not realize it goes back to the days of Bob Knight, where they had some sort of touring circuit around the state of Indiana, and Huber's and Starlight has long been a stop for Indiana. So this stop's one of the big traditions each summer. I think you could say that IU fans, at least in Southern Indiana, rely on for kind of a scoop on what's going on here in this dead time. With a lot of time still even existing till the start of college football, and of course even more until the start of the basketball season. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us on this program today in segment number two will be Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com. Lots of discussion about Juwan Morgan, about the roster for next season, and about some of those, I don't want to call them unnamed, but not often mentioned players. We're just going to walk through the entire deal. I think Indiana has a lot of options for next season. Of course, a lot of it depends on who plays well and who gets better in the offseason and how it all comes together with some of the freshmen. But we'll talk about some of the names that maybe you don't always hear us talk about on the program with Ken Bykoff when he joins us. Also, later in the show, Greg Bengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, will be with us. We're going to talk all about our local baseball sectionals. We've got a lot of teams that not only played well in the sectional and won, but I think we've got a number of teams. I would not be surprised if we had three teams win the regionals this weekend. Obviously, that's a tough feat. You've got two games in one day. So much of it comes down to pitching. With each weekend that you advance in the state tournament, the pitching and the competition I know gets better, but I really feel like it would not be a big surprise. I'd be disappointed if we didn't have two teams from the area go on to the semi-state, and I think a possibility of three is a legit thing. So we'll talk with Greg about that. We'll look ahead to the regionals this weekend with Greg Mengelt from the News and Tribune later on the program. That's the Honey Baked Ham guest lineup. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. A programming note before we get into some headlines, we will be covering Jeffersonville this weekend down in Evansville at Bossy Field on Saturday. We'll have their opening game. It's a 1:30 first pitch. They will take on Franklin Central, who has a record of about 500. They were able to get through that sectional up in Greenwood after a couple upsets earlier in the week there as well. We'll be covering Jeffersonville. They play, as I said, Franklin Central in the second semifinal on Saturday. We'll be back at Bossy Field for the championship game. If the Red Devils win, as we think they will, we'll be back for them as they will take on either Castle or Columbus East in the championship game of that 4A sectional. And then also we're working, no promises yet, but we're working to get some other games on the air, at least some call-in reports as well from other games. So we want to keep you posted all day Saturday with everything going on with the local baseball scene. We've got some really good teams. I mentioned I would not be surprised if we had three teams go on to semi-state. Would be disappointed if we don't have at least two. We got some really good players, some college prospects, some guys going to Indiana, some guys going to UofL to play baseball. So it will be a lot of fun, no question about it. We want to make sure we cover as much as we possibly can on Saturday, so we're working to figure some things out to perhaps bring you the Silver Creek game, at least the first game of the day for them. We'll keep you posted as the week goes on, though, still trying to figure some things out. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. It's presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Obviously, the news of the day is Juwan Morgan. His ability to come back after what he did this past season and bring senior leadership, bring the, we would think, similar stats to what he posted last season. And it's going to be an important year, I think, for Indiana as they take some steps forward with some young talent. Always nice to have some senior leadership, and not just senior leadership, but senior leadership that can lead by example or by being at the forefront of all of everything. And I just would be surprised if Juwan hasn't elevated his game by going through this NBA process, going to some of the workouts, meeting with some of the NBA personnel, hearing point blank, here's what you have to do if you want to get drafted in the future. You're not going to get drafted now. There's not many schools, I shouldn't say schools, there are not many franchises interested in you right now at a serious level. But if you want this to change next year, here's what you're going to have to do. And I think hearing it from your college coach is great. You hear it from him every day, what you need to do to be a better player. But hearing it from people that you don't know that are trying to legitimately give you the best advice to make you the best basketball player at the pro level someday is really big stuff. So it's hard to believe that Juwan Morgan going through this, we've seen it happen before where a player just goes through the NBA draft process, even not going to the combine, just getting workouts, they elevate their game. And obviously, I can't see that not happening this year for Juwan Morgan as well. Also, I saw last night some good news for James Blackman Jr. He has been invited to the mini camp. Some of the NBA franchises have mini camps, kind of an opportunity to work out guys that they are interested in for summer league teams or perhaps for the next season as well. James Blackman will do that later. I think it's later this month, next week actually. So the early June is when he'll be in Orlando. A number of teams hold mini camps for players that they have some level of interest in. I guess the goal for James Blackman out of this Orlando Magic mini camp would be, number one, an invite to a summer league team playing out in Las Vegas or staying down in Orlando maybe to play with the Magic franchise in the summer. And then, of course, the big one is a training camp invite. So don't be surprised. I would kind of be surprised if James doesn't get an invite to play in the summer league. Whether he'll get a training camp invite or not next year, not sure. But still a good opportunity for him. Anytime you're working with NBA teams and coaches and personnel and your name is still involved in that and you're still being offered an invite to, I don't care what it is, a mini camp, a summer league, training camp, whatever it may be, getting called on a two-way contract from your G League team to go to the NBA for, even if it's not even to just to get a roster spot for practices while there's some injuries and things, any conversation, any communication, any opportunity to do any of that is good stuff. So good for James Blackman Jr. as he will have some activity over the next couple weeks, it looks like, with the Orlando Magic in the NBA. Also, one other note, I saw a Big Ten Conference reset now that we at least getting close to knowing who is back, who is not back in the Big Ten Conference for next season. I saw some interesting things for next year as far as the standings go. This was a CBS, or excuse me, an NBC Sports college basketball talk story. I tell you what, Michigan State at the top of the conference, according to these way too early conference ratings, Maryland second, Michigan third, Indiana fourth. I like that expectation for Indiana. I think that that is a very fair place to possibly see Indiana at. We'll talk more about this later in the show as well. Purdue fifth, Nebraska sixth, Ohio State seventh. Here's one that surprised me, Wisconsin eighth. I don't know that I see the Badgers being that low in the conference with what they've got coming back this season. Iowa ninth, Penn State 10th, Northwestern 11th, Minnesota 12th, Illinois 13th. That leaves Rutgers in the 14th spot. Obviously, when they take a look here, and this is from the NBC Sports College Basketball Talk story, who's coming? Number one on that list as far as incoming players to the Big Ten Conference is Romeo Langford. It says, quote, "Langford's decision to stay home and play for the Hoosiers will be one of the major freshman storylines in college basketball this season." A consensus top 10 national prospect, the 6'5" Langford, will be asked to score immediately for Indiana. So, again, that is going to be something that we, I think, hear a lot about, not just going into the season, but throughout the season as well. Interesting to hear and see some way too early picks for where Indiana might place in the Big Ten Conference. And again, I like that 4 or 5 spot. I'm not afraid of that 3 spot with all the players that Indiana has coming back and the new faces and all the changes and graduations and losses to the NBA for the Big Ten Conference. One other thing, reading this story, this surprised me, and I don't know why it surprised me. It shouldn't have, but it's been 18 years, 18 college basketball seasons have passed since the Big Ten had a NCAA national champion. I guess I knew it had been some time. I don't know that I realized that it had been 18 seasons, but that's what this story says. That surprised me, absolutely. That's a look at the headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. The Hoosier headlines are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. It's Wednesday, which means buy 3 or 6 traditional or boneless wings at Hoopsters. And when you buy 3 or 6, you get 3 or 6 for free at Hoopster Sports Grill. That's a deal that's only available every Wednesday. So if you're out and about looking for a lunch place here over the next hour or so, or better yet, you want to come back for dinner tonight, don't forget 3 or 6 traditional or boneless wings. You can get either one. You buy 3 or 6, you get 3 or 6 free at Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters, it's where fun happens. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more. Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com. We'll talk about, obviously, Juwan Morgan coming back. We'll talk about the roster. I want to really take a look at what's coming back for next season. Coming your way right here on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here, a Wednesday edition of the program. I was just reminded that we have some news as far as IU baseball goes. We will be carrying the IU baseball game Friday, 5 o'clock airtime for that, so make sure you're with us here on the Big X. Of course, a lot of high school baseball stuff on Monday, Memorial Day for the championships, and now we get to get excited about having some IU baseball in between those high school games, perhaps coming up this weekend. So a good addition to all of our local Southern Indiana and Indiana-focused programming here on the Big X Sports Radio. Speaking of IU and a great guest to have to talk about these headlines, Ken Bykoff of Peaks.com is with me here on this Wednesday edition of the program. And Ken, I think we all knew, we all assumed that Juwan Morgan would be back for his senior season. But it seemed like, you know, Romeo commits, huge piece added there. And then Juwan says, I'm going to try the NBA route without an agent. So there was a little bit of unknown with the situation. You go from landing a big one to unsure about a key career guy coming back, and now we know that we're going to have all of them back next year, and I think Indiana fans can finally think about this roster with some concrete thought behind it. And I tell you what, you put a guy like Juwan Morgan with what he did last season, fairly consistency for Indiana, back on the roster again this year with another year of development, and I think this NBA process can only help players with some young talent coming in and some other young guys on the roster that are back from last season. And there's nowhere, I don't think, for Indiana to go. Not that last season was terrible, but nowhere to go but up really from here with these type of players and the number of guys Indiana's going to have back.
Yeah, Indiana, I know, I understand why fans were nervous. You know, he waited until the last minute to go ahead and make his decision known. But if you're Juwan Morgan, why wouldn't you? You know, to me, you get as much out of the process as you possibly can. I am a big believer that every player who even has an inkling of playing professional basketball should go through the system, because that's how the system is set up. So use the system to your benefit, because Lord knows the system uses you to its benefit. So to me, him going ahead and going through the workouts, is you're only going to get better as a player and realize the places where you need to improve. Plus, along the way, you're not just working out for guys. You're getting coaching from guys who are, you know, some of the best in the business. So it's great for him to go through the process. I always expected him to come back. One X factor was a little bit of talk that he might be interested in going and playing overseas for a year, which, to be honest with you, also would not have been a move that I disagree with, because if you have an opportunity to play for pay or play for free, you always play for pay, because your career is basically on its own shot clock. But the fact that he's going to be back, I think, is just a huge deal for this team, because it gives them a veteran that they know that they can depend on. And I really think that Juwan Morgan is going to see a huge benefit of having a guy like Romeo Langford on the team, because now teams are not going to be able to focus on Juwan Morgan at the same level as they were doing late last year. They have to account for Romeo Langford, and that means they also have to account for other guys like Devonte Green or Robert Finney, or just some of the other players on the court. It just flips that defensive attention all the more, and he might actually find it a little bit easier to operate than he did at times last year.
Ken Bykoff of Peaks.com with us here on a Wednesday edition of the show. You know, that's something Mike Pegram mentioned that here in the last few days on the show. I didn't know, didn't remember Juwan's background. As I think he was raised on a military base in Germany, which does give him some extra benefits to play overseas and be recognized as a non-U.S. player, maybe, which a lot of those guys would find very attractive as they tried to load up their teams. But I didn't catch that. There was talk about, well, one of the options is to go overseas and get paid, which I'm with you. If you got an opportunity to get paid, why not go ahead and take advantage of it? But I didn't realize there was a little extra connection and perhaps reason for extra concern with that because of his background.
Yeah, and you know, and that is, there are limits that are set on European teams on the number of U.S. born players that they could have. And Juwan Morgan doesn't count as a U.S. born player. He might be a really good basketball player, but he's never going to be president of the United States. And that is important to some of those overseas teams, because you do have a guy that you could bring over and pay. Now, obviously, that's not the direction that he's going, and Indiana fans could breathe a sigh of relief, but that's why it wasn't always NBA to me that was kind of the draw. I thought that there could be a chance that he might do it. Not a good chance, but a chance. It wasn't as clear-cut, but I'm just happy that he went through the process, was able to get important feedback. I know Juwan Morgan, his entire career, has done a great job of taking feedback and doing something with it. He doesn't hear it and have it go out the other ear. He doesn't hear, you know, you should get better at this and think that it's just critics, trying to drag him down. He takes all of that to heart, and all of that has to do with his background, his family, just the way that he approaches the game, and the fact that he's going to be back is just such a nice, steadying influence for this roster that is slowly but surely getting a little bit more balanced, and having a veteran senior like Juwan Morgan on the roster is only going to help.
You know, Ken, one of the things to talk about here in the offseason, with so many months until the start of college basketball for next season, is, you know, we know Romeo, we know Juwan Morgan. Some of the things are obviously knowns with this team. You can almost kind of see – them already coming together. But there are a number of players that got time last year that at times were big contributors, maybe inconsistently, but helped IU win some games. And with a graduate transfer in at 6'10", with Romeo and Juwan kind of being steady pieces, I think, for this team as we look ahead, it's going to be interesting. There's some depth, if it all works out, where these guys stay where they were at and get better as you would expect them to in the offseason. There's going to be a lot of different weapons, I think, on this Indiana team. It's going to be a matter of when you get your chance early on, who comes through and who is more consistent this year that might determine the rest of the starting lineup or the rest of the, you know, 7-8-man rotation that plays.
Yeah, you know, I was talking about this on the Pigs podcast a couple weeks ago, just about how over the last 12 months, Archie Miller's done a great job, I think, of just reshaping the roster. And, you know, he had an extra scholarship last year, and he went with Race Thompson, a redshirt freshman who could provide balance to the roster, which, you know, under the previous coaching staff, you would start to get senior heavy, and then you'd be really young. And then you'd build up. There was never really a lot of good roster balance. By using a scholarship on a guy you knew you were going to redshirt, you were just improving the balance on the roster while also getting a quality player. Let's face it, Race Thompson is a guy that probably would have been pretty highly rated coming out of high school. Got him on campus, got him into your weight program and everything like that. Now, this year, there's an extra scholarship, and he goes with Evan Fitzner, a senior, a graduate transfer from St. Mary, who both has size, which is going to help you both in games and in practice. And he's a stretch guy, somebody who could pull big men away from the rim. Now, what does that do? That allows more room for guys to drive to the basket. If you have a big that has to follow a big out to the perimeter, now you've got more room for Romeo Langford to go to the basket. Same thing for Devontae Green. Same thing for a guy like Robert Tennessee or Justin Smith or all these guys that are going to be coming in. The skill set on this team, I think, is drastically different than it was last year because you have guys who could knock down some outside shots. You have some guys that are a little bit unproven with that. A guy like Demezi Anderson, is somebody who knocked down shots in high school, but it's high school, so he has to prove that he could do it at this level. But from a raw skill standpoint, not only do you have guys that can spread the floor a little bit more and also serve as a drive and kick target, but you have guys who also can create more room in the lane to give the guys like Langford, like Green, more room to operate when they go off the dribble. And it's been really impressive because one of the things that this coaching staff has done a great job with is just having a vision of what they want their roster to do, what they want it to look like, and then going after the right pieces to kind of fill those roles. It isn't, hey, we're going to bring them in and try to solve this one problem. It is, how do these guys work together? And I think that kind of vision that was set out when Archie Miller got here is really paying dividends. And I'm not saying they're going to win a Big Ten championship next year. I'm not saying they're going to a Final Four. But I do think that this is a roster that's going to be able to hurt teams in a lot more various ways than they did last year.
I tell you what, I'm sure a lot of Indiana fans share this sentiment that you and I'm sure you do as well, have. To get in Assembly Hall on some of these upcoming summer nights after camps and after they get done with summer school classes and other workouts, I would love to see what all these guys look like playing together and seeing them play together for the first time. I would think coming up here sometime in the middle of June and sometime that type of basketball, if you get the opportunity to watch it, can tell you so much about how a team is coming together without coaches around or without constant coaching or stopping or practicing. I would love to see this team kind of play together in the summer. I know that's not possible for the most part, but man, I would love to see these guys go at it this summer.
Well, and the other important thing is, you know, unlike last summer, when you had a coaching change and there was uncertainty just kind of what the coaching staff wanted and how they were going to conduct themselves through the course of a season, you look at how much better Indiana was in February than it was in November or December. Indiana got better as the season progressed, as guys caught on to concepts. They weren't thinking as much on the floor, as much as reacting, because they were buying into defense and all that. Well, this year, you have guys that have been through it, who have improved, who are leaders on the team, who can then help the young guys move along and really hopefully just make that learning curve a lot steeper and help guys get better faster. And it's going to create a lot of competition. It's going to create a lot of, I think, just a much better product when Indiana goes into practices in October and when the games start in November than we had this year, just because guys know what they're supposed to do. And you get to a situation in year two where a lot more of the workouts can be player-driven other than coaches and coaching-driven, which is what Indiana had to deal with last year. And any team going through a transition has to figure out what the coaching staff wants. Well, this year, you know, you have guys like Juwan Morgan, Devontae Green, all these veterans who are coming back, Zach McRoberts, who can tell the young guys, this is what we need to do. This is the standard that has been set, and we want to meet it and exceed it because now they actually know what that standard is.
Ken Bykoff, Peaks.com. Ken, great stuff as we talk about Juwan Morgan's official return to the IU roster for his senior year. Great to catch up with you again. We'll talk soon.
All right, take care.
All right, Ken Bykoff, always great to have Ken with us for great insight, especially on a day like today where the roster now set, Juwan Morgan back for sure, and you kind of get a real feel for what this Indiana team and some of its options could look like for next season. I got a real interesting message here. This is from Brian Sullivan. I was talking about the event at Huber's tonight and how it's one of the big events for IU coaches to be out in the state of Indiana. And obviously a guy like Archie Miller, you don't hear from a lot. He's not calling press conferences all the time. He's not calling into radio shows all the time. But here's an interesting note from Brian. He said, when IU put Knight on a zero tolerance notice prior to his firing, his lawyers encouraged him to cut back on his public appearances. He trimmed it back to 4 speeches statewide, and the one at Huber's made the short list because of the size and enthusiasms of the crowd. That's a great point. And, of course, it was good enough for Bob Knight to make it one of his 4. Easy to see how it continues today with not just the basketball staff featured or coach featured, but a lot of the other sports as well. It really has turned into a great celebration of IU athletics. And what a time to celebrate with Romeo Langford in the fold. Juwan Morgan announces the night before this event that he's coming back, so things set as well. Also, I completely forgot about this in the first segment today. I had planned to spend a lot of time talking about it. Greg and I will get to it in the next segment. But how about Josh Rogers last night, former New Albany pitcher, former University of Louisville pitcher. He's worked his way up to the AAA level. He comes home from for Scranton Wilkes-Barre to play at Louisville last night, pitched 7 great innings, gave up 5 hits, no runs, 2 base on balls, 3 strikeouts, 101 pitches thrown in the game while he was in. 64 of those 101 were strikes. It was a great performance, and more importantly, and Greg and I can talk about this, but just an awesome crowd last night. Tons of New Albany, tons of Southern Indiana people there to cheer on Josh. He, by far, the Scranton Wilkes-Barre team had basically the home fans last night because of this huge turnout last night to support Josh Rogers. But special night, had to be a special night for him. And, of course, he pitched really well also. So it's going to be interesting to see if Josh Rogers can get an opportunity to pitch for the New York Yankees this season. Greg and I will talk about that next. We'll talk about all the local sectional winners in baseball. We'll talk about the regional pairings in baseball for this weekend. High school sports almost done for the school year, but not before a huge weekend of high school baseball regionals. That discussion coming up next right here on a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back with Greg Bengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune here on this Wednesday show. And let's start where I left off in the last segment. Josh Rogers last night, a homecoming of sorts. He came to Slugger Field in downtown Louisville, pitched a great game, and did so in front of a crowd that was absolutely glad to see him back in the area. You know, before we even talk about Josh, you know, we know what kind of crowds Romeo drew from New Albany fans and beyond, others as well that jumped on the bandwagon, which is great to support a local athlete, even if he's not from your immediate community. But last night was another great example of how good sports fans and how loyal sports fans and how important sports, local sports are to Southern Indiana to see that number of people come out on a Tuesday night to watch a pitcher in AAA that's pitching for a Yankees team be the loud and dominant crowd at the Bats game last night. And not only the crowd special, but Josh Rogers' performance special as well. But that's was a thought I had as I kept walking into the stadium last night, making my way to the seats. I passed a couple people, and you expect to see some people and Josh's family, and you keep going and keep going, and it's just like, wow, is anybody here that's not got a Yankees gear on, or you don't know, recognize at least from this side of the river? So that was pretty cool in itself.
Yeah, and lots of Bulldog gear, lots of Louisville gear. Yeah, the fans of not only New Albany but also Louisville, I think, showed up for him. And what a special night that was for Josh Rogers and really for New Albany. This was kind of a community-wide celebration. It's great for him to get a chance to come home. And, you know, and part of this is not just that Josh Rogers and Romeo Langford are great players, which they are. We were talking during the break that 2 years from now, they could very well both be professionals at the top of their sport. But it's also because they're great guys, and they've really made a connection with the community. Both made an effort with the media over the years to be very available. And, you know, Josh in particular, always been a very good interview, always been very thoughtful. And I think that often makes an impact, simply more than just being a great player. And in Josh Rogers' case, there's no doubt that's true. He's such a great guy, and you wish him nothing but the best. And I have little doubt. I didn't have any doubt when he was in college that one day he would be a Major League Baseball player. It's good to see that in the pros that's coming to fruition. But the biggest surprise for me is that he lasted until the third round.
Yeah.
When he was drafted, because he's big, he's got a nice fastball, good movement, he's smart. I think oftentimes that's overlooked in a pitcher, how smart he is. So it's I'm not surprised at all with the success, but it's very good to see.
Talking with Greg Mengel, sports editor of the News and Tribune, you know, if you look back at his professional or minor league career so far, he's spent, he's had success at each level. He's kind of steadfast, worked his way up to the AAA level, and wasn't even going to be a starter, was going to come in as a closer, and then got the opportunity due to some pitching shortages and just various things, and has come in and made the most of that this season. He improved his record last night to 5-3, but I just thought the way he worked through some of the batters last night and the composure he has, and knowing that the Yankees have had, even though they've got the Judge and a lot of real talent up there right now, and have a really good team, they don't necessarily have the pitching it would take to win a World Series. So it just kind of, you wonder if with what Josh has been able to do in his last couple of years in the Yankees organization, and with where the Yankees are at right now, not that they're a bad team, but pitching-wise, if he's not going to get a chance as a lefty for the Yankees at some point.
Yeah, there's no doubt they have a World Series winning offense, and they have probably a World Series winning ace in Severino. But after that, it's pretty weak in the starting rotation, and not a great bullpen. Not that it's bad, but not as good as it was expected to be. Apparently the roster lacks a lot of lefties, and after last night, we start to get hopeful about what could be. And could Josh Rogers be a World Series champion at the end of this year? After last night, I wouldn't doubt that. We'll see what happens with him. But at some point, whether it's in the bullpen or it's in the starting rotation, I believe he will be a Yankee for sure. Yeah,
that would be absolutely awesome. Then on the flip side of things, we have on the West Coast, Drew Ellis, who's doing good things in the lower levels of the Diamondbacks organization, but still recognized as a prospect moving up through the ranks there with potential. So this area that we brag on baseball-wise and talk about all the college prospects and players, we're beginning to see that turn into a minor league, perhaps even professional level, I think, in the very near future.
No doubt. Josh Rogers was just the start of this. We got Timmy Borden and Joe Wilkinson, and, I mean, it goes on and on and on of potential professional prospects from – you know, the great little leagues that we cover in the summer, how many of those kids are now becoming high school and college stars, potential draft picks. There are a lot of them. I think it's going to continue to grow too. Got a lot of great coaching in this area and a lot of enthusiasm for baseball. So I think Josh Rogers was just the start of an avalanche of great players from here.
Greg Mengel, sports editor at the News and Tribune. Getting back to a subject I've already talked a lot about in this hour, any surprise Juwan Morgan came back to Indiana for his senior year?
I don't think so. You know, when someone told me there was a possibility that he wouldn't come back, at first it kind of surprised me. I thought, "What is that true?" I heard about the overseas possibility, but it sets up for a pretty big Big Ten, a pretty good Big Ten as a Purdue fan. It's really always nice. Actually, I should say, as a Purdue fan and someone who actually likes Indiana as well, and always has, well, since Bob Knight left, has liked IU as well. It's always good to see both teams be good. I hope both teams are really good. I have a feeling they'll both be fringe top 25 teams, but unless Romeo's even better than I expect, and then maybe Indiana is a Sweet 16 type team. Yeah, we'll see what. But I wasn't surprised much by that decision, and it's good to see.
A couple other interesting NBA draft notes. 2017 Indiana Mr. Basketball, Chris Wilkes is going to go back to UCLA. That was announced yesterday.
Good decision.
I agree. And I do think he has a professional future ahead of him, just not right now. I think probably the wisest choice for him to go back to UCLA. Also, this came out earlier today. This is surprising. Stanford's Reed Travis, he's withdrawing from the NBA drafts. I'm sure Stanford sitting on the edge of their seat wanting to find out if a player of his caliber is returning. He's not going to the NBA, but bad news for Stanford is he's a graduate transfer now, and he's going to Kentucky, it's being reported. So quite a twist there. You know, you're waiting for a month to find out if one of your top returners is coming back to your program or not. And then not only do they not go to the NBA, they don't come back to your program. They become a graduate transfer and go elsewhere. So
the least victimized group in college basketball are the coaches because they control things. But, man, that's a pretty tough move to put your former program in.
Yeah, and that's a big pickup, too, for Kentucky, especially at this stage of the offseason as well. Talking with Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. We've talked about a lot, covered a lot of ground, but we still need to talk about the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series coming up. But right now I want to turn our attention to the baseball regionals this weekend. I have said all along, and you have echoed it, and you've had your own thoughts too, but that this is a really good year for Southern Indiana baseball, that we should have a number of teams go on to have postseason success. We have four local winners, 1A through 4A from Clark and Floyd counties, our immediate area.
Clark County,
yeah, all from Clark County, excuse me. Nobody from Floyd County, which makes it even stronger.
Yeah.
And of those four, I could see three advancing to the semi-state pretty easily in my predictions, and I would be disappointed if we don't have at least two of those four teams still alive in the semi-state round next week. And if you get to the semi-state round, anything can happen, especially in baseball. You're in the Final Four, and if you got one good pitcher, and most of these teams we have left in our area have a couple really good pitchers, you could be set up in good shape. So this weekend will be fun. Jeff is in Evansville at Ballsy Field. Silver Creek is in Evansville at Evansville North. Clarksville is at Austin, and Borden is at Lagodi, right? So take us through those and your thoughts on this weekend's games.
Yeah, I think there's a very real possibility we'll have three state champions in the end. All year I've been saying either New Albany or Jeffersonville, either Silver Creek or Providence, and Borden. Very real possibility. Last week I predicted before the sectional that Borden will be the state champion at the end of the season. They have to get through one game without Lucas McNew pitching. Of course, McNew on Saturday faced 17 batters against South Central and struck out 15. But that's how good he is. He's just better than the rest of Class A. And if they can get through one game without him pitching, they're the favorites the rest of the way, I think. And Silver Creek, has any team been more impressive in this area? I that's a resume that's going to be pretty hard to beat. And of course, Jeffersonville, with its depth of pitching, with its lineup, it's hard to imagine there's a team much better than that. But in baseball, it doesn't take much better sometimes. So I think for sure Borden and Silver Creek and Jeffersonville have a chance to win a state championship. Of course, they could all be out this weekend. That's how kind of how high school baseball goes.
Greg Mingelt, sports editor, News and Tribune, is with us. Indiana All-Stars basketball, 1 week from today, we'll get back to the round ball a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a junior-senior exhibition game at New Albany. And then Friday, a week from Friday, at Bellarmine, the Indiana-Kentucky Series girls and boys games. And then Saturday at Indianapolis, Bankers Life, same thing, second of two games.
The same night as the baseball state finals, by the way.
Semi-state.
Oh, semi-state, yeah.
Hopefully,
yes,
it works out where the local local teams in the semi-states, most of those are afternoon or early evening starts.
That'll be nice.
And then the all-star game that night. So Plainfield is a site, might work out where you can go up and watch somebody play. True. And make the all-star game that night, probably what you guys will do.
Exactly.
Trying to cover things, probably what we'll do as well. But summer basketball, the all-star games, you and I have had this discussion before. They don't have the meaning that they once did. You know, the game at Freedom Hall years ago would be not necessarily a sellout, but a really good crowd.
Mm-hmm.
The game in Indianapolis obviously still draws a good crowd, but at one time it was a great crowd. The game still has bragging rights. It's not your all-star game in the sense of I'm going to back off my man and let Greg go in and dunk, because that's what we do in all-star games, like we saw in the McDonald's game and some of the national-level all-star games out there. There's still a little bit of pride. The teams practice. They used to be together for like 2-3 weeks practicing and touring and doing charity work and things like that. Now it's down to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, done. They've really shortened it, and that's helped them in this new world we're in, where everything needs to be shorter and, mm-hmm. and other priorities exist. But I think this is a game where the interest is back to a certain degree because of Romeo. Bellarmine should be a sellout. It's only 2,200 seats, but it should be a sellout. And I think we'll have a really good crowd at Bankers Life. And I guess if there's a hope, it's that, number one, we get to see Romeo and Sean play well. Mm-hmm. The local guys play well in their final outing, playing high school basketball of some sorts. But most importantly, long-term, that maybe this rejuvenates the series a little bit. There's been a lot of talk, Romeo will help IU's recruiting. Well, that's an obvious statement. I don't think there's any question that he already has, based on comments that some of the other targets of IU, they've made it at some of the spring tournaments and things. But maybe he'll make it cool again for not that it hasn't been cool, but maybe he'll make sure that the next – 4 or 5 Mr. Basketball say, hey, Romeo was Mr. Basketball, I want to be Mr. Basketball. Romeo found a way to play in both the All-Star games and be there for the week. I want to find a way to be there as well. Hopefully it extends this series, which at times, especially on the Kentucky side, I have wondered what the future of the series looked like.
No doubt. And I hated to see Indiana's winning streak last year come to an end, but then you kind of think, maybe Kentucky needed this. Maybe they needed one win along the way to kind of change the direction of the series. It's no one's fault that Indiana is so much better than Kentucky now. And we're talking about top end talent. Kentucky obviously has depth of talent as well as Indiana. But as far as top end talent, the truth is, as great as the history of Indiana basketball has been, the last 20 years has produced as many great players as any time. So it's kind of waned. Not only in Kentucky, but in Indiana too, because people don't always want to come and watch a 30-point game. But yeah, that's I don't think, honestly, it'll help the future of the event. But this year, it's going to be a large, enthusiastic crowd at New Albany, at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, at Bellarmine. It's going to be a very large pro-Indiana, pro-Romeo, pro-Shawnees, pro-Jim Shannon crowd at both places. And it's hard for me to imagine Indiana won't sweep them again. And then next year, we'll talk about the enthusiasm gap again.
Yeah, good points. Greg Mengelt, the News and Tribune sports editor. Don't forget, almost everything that we talk about, whether it's now or later, you can read about at newsandtribune.com/sports. You can also follow Greg and the sports team on Twitter at @NewsTribScores. Track this weekend. Have some locals. I don't want to leave them out. Have some locals that might be able to win a state championship.
Sure. Girls on Friday, no real like championship contenders, but boys on Saturday, we've got at least two. Skylar Stidham is the number three seed in the 3,200 meters, but with his sectional time, he would easily have been the number one seed. So I think he's going to win the 3,200. It's been been 4 years in the making of him being a state champion, and I think this is the weekend, Saturday at IU. And then Tremaine Gonzalez is, from Silver Creek is the number one seed in the 110 hurdles. Of course, in the hurdles, you never know because there are hurdles in your way. But he's the favorite, and I don't expect him to win, but I think he is the favorite for sure. And then Victor Daly from Jeffersonville in the high jump is the second seed. Unfortunately for him, the number one seed cleared 7'4". So he'll have to hope for an off day from him. But three guys right there in the top. And Gonzalez also a top nine in the hurdles. And Eric Wheatley in the pole vault as well will be in the top nine, I'm sure, a sophomore from Borden, who's also running in the 300 hurdles. So, man, what an exciting day that's going to be. If you're not going to baseball, make sure you get to the track meet and watch our local state champions.
Absolutely. Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, as we wrap things up. Greg, the high school sports season will come to a close very, very soon. That means the Natsby's Awards coming up soon as well, and that's always a great way to kind of take a reflection back on what's just been an amazing year.
Yeah, and tickets are free. Natsby's.com. Free tickets, just come on in, enjoy the show. We have a really good turnout, and it's a really good time, and we look forward to seeing a lot of people out there.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for coming in. We'll do this again next week, hopefully talk about some baseball regional champions and maybe some track and field champions as well. That'll wrap it up for today. Be back with you Thursday, 11 o'clock here on the Big X. On Thursdays, we have Alex Bozich. And more lined up, so stay with us for that. Talk with you tomorrow here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.